Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Hadith number 4.
عن أبي عبد الرحمن عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله عنه قال حدثنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو الصادق المصدوق إن أحدكم يجمع خلقه في بطن أمه 40 يوما نطفة ثم يكون علقة مثل ذلك ثم يكون مضغة مثل ذلك ثم يرسل إليه الملك فينفخ فيه الروح ويؤمر ب4 كلمات بكتب رزقه وأجله وعمله وشقي أو سعيد فوالله الذي لا إله غيره إن أحدكم ليعمل بعمل أهل الجنة حتى ما يكون بينه وبينها إلا ذراع فيسبق عليه الكتاب فيعمل بعمل أهل النار فيدخلها وإن أحدكم ليعمل بعمل أهل النار حتى ما يكون بينه وبينها إلا ذراع فيسبق عليه الكتاب فيعمل بعمل أهل الجنة فيدخلها. رواه البخاري ومسلم.
On the authority of Abu Abdurrahman, Abdullah bin Mas'ud, رضي الله عنه.
وأشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. حي للصلاة حي للصلاة حي للصلاة حي للصلاة. الله أكبر الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله.
The recording has started. Muted.
الحمد لله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. أما بعد. And that is, the praise is for Allah. We ask Him for help and we ask Him for forgiveness. We seek refuge with Allah from the evil of our own souls and from our own actions. Whosoever Allah guides, never will he or she go astray. And whosoever goes astray, then for him or her, there is no guide besides Allah. And I bear witness, dear people, that there is no God but Allah. And I bear witness that Muhammad is his servant and his messenger. The prayers and the peace be on him. And everything of excellence indigenous to this salutation follows. So to all of you, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi barakatuhu wa jumma mubarak. Alhamdulillah. And we thank Allah for your presence today. And if we have AM360 with us, we thank you for sharing and spending your time with us today in this Jumu'ah. We pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we all benefit greatly from this measure. So today we decided that family discussion will be the brightest star among the stars. The brightest star among the stars. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says to us in the sixth surah, about the 92nd verse, Allah, he says to us in the Quran, he says, وَالْهُدَى الْكِتَابٌ أَنْزَلَنَاهُ مُبَارِكٌ مُسَادِقٌ الَّذِي بَيْنَ يَحْبَيْنَهُ يَحْبَيْهِ وَلِتُنْذِرَ قُرَى وَمَنْ حَوْلَهَا وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِ وَالْهُمْ عَلَى الصَّلَاةِ يُحَافِظُونَ. صدق الله العظيم. That is Allah. Surely Allah speaks the truth. In the translation it says, and this is a book which we have sent down, bringing blessings and confirming the revelations which came before it, that you may warn the mother of cities and all around her. Those who believe in the hereafter believe in this book, and they are constant in guiding their prayers. Alhamdulillah. and I believe this is a Yusuf Ali translation. But my beloved brothers and sisters, as we look more and more into these translations, which is said to be, I think, Yusuf Ali translation here, I want to say the translation for this verse I find a bit differently expressed as what is clearly there in the Arabiya. All right? For example, what I see and what I get is a little different. I see this is a blessed script. We have caused him to be sent down. We have caused him to be sent down. All right? And then if you like, we can have much more discussion on this for whatever the reason may be. The him being Muhammad, as well as the original formation of human life. However, the translator does not acknowledge the pronoun him. Enzalana, enzalana who. It's clearly, we cause him to be set down. The na in enzalana is the plural pronoun we. And the who in enzalana who is him, the singular pronoun who was sent down as a blessed script for human life. And to human lies. He was the Quran walking, right? Yes, the best demonstration of that lie came down. The script came down as a confirmation to those who were promised by God. God sent down what he had promised because human beings lost their way. Yes. And they needed a light by which to see. Many are still lost when it comes to the scripted life God has regarded as being the trusted life to endure the experience. Confirmed what was between his hands, is what they say in translation. That is a phrase or a way of speaking that had also been translated, dear people, in other places as before his hands. Same word, same phrase, just different translation. Between his hands and before his hands alludes to the scripted life that came as a confirmation of what came before. It was sent down again. Yes. What came, dear people, before was between your two hands. It was between your two hands. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the human being control over the life. Right? It's between your two hands. It's in your control now. The manager of the life. He made the human being responsible for his management. The Khalifa. So, what was given to Adam is what was inherited in the script by Muhammad, alayhi salam. Yes. He confirmed it. Muhammad did. He confirmed it. Adam was before Muhammad, but what Muhammad inherited was the same as what had been given to Adam. It was before the social setting of, but Muhammad was the completion or fulfillment of that script. But it had been coming long before the individual Muhammad received it. Yes. He was the confirmation that it was real. what God had promised the human being. It came down to Muhammad the same way as the human, life known as human behavior has been inherited and descended from generations before. Yeah, it was no real spooky kind of situation now. Allah originally created this life and this script and this behavior for human life when he created the human being, firstly. So it was no spooky kind of thing. Muhammad, alayhi salam, is the confirmation of that reality. He was a return to what God had created the first time. And he has become the model of what that excellence looked like. What was now in the hands of Muhammad was also before the hands of Muhammad. It was before Muhammad received it. It was existing before it reached the managerial control of Muhammad. That's what we're saying. It didn't just become created with Muhammad. Muhammad inherited what was before. As a result, to warn the mother of all towns is not exactly what you may think that it said. Case in point. It does matter where you may exist in your town or the world you exist in, if you understand what I'm saying. The world or town may be influenced. Whatever your mindset is, whatever the world that you're in your mindset, it can be influenced. In the language of the Arabs, dear people, if you say, that is the mother of them all. Yes, if you say that is the mother of them all, it does not mean literally what it is saying or what you may think, or what you may be thinking when you read that. All right? All right? So what I read to you in the Arabic early, and this is the book which we have set down, bringing blessings and confirming the revelations which came before it, that you may warn the mother of cities or towns and all around her. Those who believe in the hereafter believe in this book, and they are constant in God in their prayers. Okay? Yes. So, again, in the language of the Arabs, the mother of the cities, the mother of the town may not be exactly what you're thinking. Not the mother of each town, not the mother of each city, but instead, it has come to mean the biggest and the most dominant one of them all. I believe the mother of them all is idolatry. The mother of them all is idolatry, shirk. I believe that is the biggest one. It is one of the greatest sins or influences on you through the cultural or social environments. The mother of them all, right? I said, oh, man, that's the mother of them all there. That's the biggest one. That's what Abraham told his father. That's the biggest one. Yes. Yeah. and they was dealing with shirk. That was dealing with the subject of shirk. Allah said he will not forgive you for it. That is the shirk. Idolatry. When it is culturally acceptable or socially acceptable, you have a great chance of succumbing to or being affected by the influence of that environment because it is the mother of them all. That was a big task on Muhammad, alayhi salam, and the believers to challenge the influence that gripped the lives of the people and turn them away from practicing idolatry. So what is my premise for this? وَمَا حَوْلَهَا is, and whoever is around her. Whoever is around her. What do you think that is saying? If you are around that influence, or that influence around you, then you are more likely to be subjected to her influence. That influence, dear people, is to depend upon others besides Allah. That's that influence. You can be in a different city and still be around her. That is, you can be in another mindset, and the influence of the mother of them all can still reach you. The ones who have a better chance of not being influenced are the ones who believe or trust in what has been promised to come next. Those who trust and believe in the human model of excellence sent by Allah Azza wa Jal, they, dear people, are the ones who stand as guardians of their prayers. Guardians of their prayers. The protector of their sensitive lives. They become the ones who reject the influence of the mother of them all as they hold on to the human model of excellence. They become guardians of their lives. They become guardians of your prayers. They become guardians of your life. So Allah, he says, وَمَنْ أَزَلَمُ مِنْ مَانِ إِفْتَارَ عَلَى اللَّهِ كَادِبًا أَوْ قَلَّلْ أُوْهِيَ إِلَّا وَلَا يُؤْهَلْ إِلَيْهِ Shaun. And the translation is, who can be more wicked than one who invents a lie against Allah? Or say, I have received inspiration when he has received none. A very powerful and pointed question that has been asked. So, who is more wicked or evil than the one who will lie against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It is so heartbreaking nowadays to see without difficulty of the search how people, without difficulty of search that is, how people are constantly lying on Allah by producing their own fabrications and saying that it is from Allah or that Allah agrees with their fabrications. They are working hard and persistently as if they look forward to the day and time to challenge God to prove him to be a liar. And you know, there are groups that are emerging now. They're emerging to not only defy God, but to prove that God does not exist. That God does not exist. He acts as if he has received by revelation or inspiration and assurance from a source that exceeds exceed Allah in authority, knowledge, and power that assures him that God does not exist. It's all fabrication. And because of that, he has the option to refuse Allah as if Allah has no recourse. But in actuality, dear people, he is a liar because he has not received anything. And because Allah is the creator of everything, if he would have received assurance about anything, it would have had to come from something Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. So he is the liar and will be dealt with accordingly. And Allah, he says to us, my beloved brothers and sisters, in his Quran, وَمَنْ قَلَّلْ سَوْنْزِلُ مِلَّ الْمَا أَنْزَلَّ اللَّهِ. Or again, who said, I can reveal the light of what Allah has revealed? This is the attitude that does not respect God. The attitude that thinks it can reveal the likes of what Allah has revealed. What kind of mind will take that position or think that way? It will have to be sinister in its purpose, because nothing or no one can achieve a feat greater than what God has purposed. Shaitan seeks to deceive human life to think or believe other than that, so you will give dependency to something else. There is no permanency in that belief other than the one that leads to hell. So, dear people, in actuality, this is really the mindset or thinking that has occupied and invaded the thinking of the people who have been made to think that something is equal to Allah or it, or they can suffice you some sort of way that will protect from Allah's reach, right? To protect you from Allah's reach. Or just have you to think that this entire thing about God is that which can be discarded or completely dismissed as a non-essential. It's not even important for you to waste your time with this, right? Because God does not exist. That is the bad advice from the advisor. Allah, he says, وَلَوْ تَوْرَى إِذَا الظَّالِمُونَ فِي الْغَمَارَةِ الْمَوْتِ وَالْمَلَائِكَاتُ بَاسِطُ أَيْدِيهِ أَخْرِجُوا أَنفُسِكُمْ كَذَكَ اللَّهُ وَذِينَ. Allah has certainly spoken the truth. If I could but see how the wicked do fare in the flood of confusion at death. The angels stretch forth their hands, saying, yield up your soul. But you can see, right? If you see the wrongdoer when he or she has to relinquish their soul, the person to who they really are that once tied them to the human family, that person isn't there anymore. Something else is occupying the body. I know you think. You may think they are still there,
but they're not. They have lost their soul. The life they should occupy, the life they should occupy, that body has been evicted. There is a new creature that resides in the same body. The old person was drenched in misery by holding or confining the life to the place that does not seek a lost pleasure. They wanted more. Please Allah Azza wa Jalla. They wanted to please whatever they believed would bestow gratification and pleasure besides pleasing God, which will become their death. That's what they want. They want to do whatever they want, whenever they want, and whatever offers them gratification. They want to be able to choose that whenever they want to over Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the life that God has given the human being. That's what they want. So Allah, he says, Al-Yawma Tujizuna Ahzab Al-Hun Al-Bina Kuntum تقولون على الله خير الحق ولكنتم عن أحياته تستكبرون. In the translation, this day shall you receive your reward, a penalty of shame, for that you use to tell lies against Allah and scornfully to reject of his son. Surely Allah has spoken the truth. So, dear people, these are the times we now live. To tell a lie on God is to reject God. That is exactly how it is done. Whenever you alter what Allah has created, pattern for the life is an act of rejection. Yes. And every act, dear people, will receive the reward it has earned. I'm confident of that. Every situation will have or earn a conclusion. Every situation. That conclusion will embody what the act has earned. What good can be earned by telling a lie against Allah, the Merciful? What good? Oh, a little time of some sensational or gratification? Because these are the things, my beloved brothers and sisters, these are the things that really significantly enhance the opportunity or the ability for us to deviate or move away from what God has called us to. If it doesn't feel good to me, if it doesn't look good to me, if it doesn't taste good to me, if it doesn't smell good to me, chances are I don't want to go near it. But if it can address those things, then I will lose my good sense. I will lose my intelligence. And I will move closer towards those things because it is offering me something when I should be working purely for the pleasure of Allah. How can there be a benefit to the life by choosing suicidal behavior? How does that benefit us? Because whatever act you give yourself to, that act has to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for judgment. That type of behavior will make you the loser you are. My point is, this act does not have to include words. The act itself that rejects the law speaks loud, loudly. It's a very loud speech. There is a painful penalty for the shameful act of stupidity. So Rabbana is the lender in Christian, I want them to sit in there, I want to him, the lender put in the city, the chasiri. Alone, we have wronged our own soul. And if we're not forgiven and shown mercy, surely, oh, surely, Allah, we will be among the losers. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ashadu an la ilaha illallah wa ta shirika lah wa ashadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alaihi wasallam. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, we openly witness that there is no God but Allah, and we openly witness that Muhammad is the servant and messenger of Allah, on whom be the prayers and the peace, and everything of excellence that follows in this salutation. So, alhamdulillah. Okay. Well, let's keep moving along here, if we can. So Allah, he says in his Quran, وَلَحَتْ جِئْتُمُونَ فُرَادَ كَمَا خَلَقْنَكُمْ أَوَّلَّ مَرَّةٍ وَتَرَخْتُمْ ما أخولناكم وراء ظهوركم صدق الله العظيم. Allah has spoken the truth. So here, Salahi, it says in the translation, and behold, you come to us bare and alone, by yourself, as we created you the first time. You have left behind you all the favors which we bestowed on you.
Surely Allah has spoken the truth.
Well, as I said earlier, you know, we have to make concerted effort to really understand the Arabiya. That includes me. I'm definitely including myself in that statement. It's such a beautiful language. We have to put forth great efforts to understand this language, because there's so much there. There's so much there. So the truth of the matter, dear people, Allah, he says, come to him by yourself without any of your advisors. You know, the ones that call you away from the sacred house. The ones that call you to give your participation in behavior that deviates from the script. You know the advisors. You know the advisors. He is saying you will come back before him the same way He sent you forward by yourself. Whatever help propels you to outdistance all others to arrive in this reality. You know, science said that millions of sperm cells, you were in a race with them, and, you know, and you were racing toward the edge. Whatever propelled you to arrive in this reality, it came from the law of Pentecost. He is the reason you have arrived. When he sent you forth, there were no partners to advise you against him or how to reject his decision. No. You will come back to Allah the same way he created you. Now, we have to be careful in our understanding of this verse, which says you were created alone, A-L-O-N-E, alone, by yourself. Why do we have to understand? Well, Allah positioned such that we can see this outside of physiology or biology, right? Because, and some of you may have been born a twin or a triplet. And there are those who are born as a joined twin, as if to say, they didn't arrive alone. They didn't come here alone. They had company. That is not what it is addressing. That is not what it is addressing. What it is addressing is what you have accepted as an advisor against Allah. In that verse, Zururikun, behind your back. Zururikun. What beautiful language. What we bestowed upon you, you put it behind your back. Zururikum, what does that mean? You left it in the last generation. The one that is behind you. And you did not bring it forward in your generation and the ones that came after you as your future. You put it behind your back. That means you left it behind. You departed from it. You didn't bring it with you. Oh, man, they did it like that in the 60s, in the 70s, but we don't do it like that now. You left it behind. It's behind your back. It means the same thing happened to you as a social group or generation of people as it did when you were an individual sperm cell in your genetic exchange. Either you handed it off to the next generation after you, or you didn't. Or maybe they just, in the exchange, they just dropped the baton, right? They just dropped the baton. How can you go to the finish line without the baton? There's a penalty for that. My mother and my father and how they saw the world and lived life and performed things are now behind my back. The back. Right behind my back. I'm in front of them. So So I put it behind my back. I did not retain the excellence of what prided themselves of in their generation. My generation put it behind our back. Oh, we don't need that nowadays. Oh, things have changed now. It is not out in front of me. I have put it behind my back. And what I see ahead of me is the back of those who are now my generation. Huh? So, I see the backs of those who are the next generation for me. And I see they put it behind their backs. I said, oh, man, they put it behind their backs. Look at them. Just look at them there. They're just going crazy because they put it behind their backs. That's my future. They don't want what I have. Put it behind their back. It's not prevalent in their lives anymore. I do not see what I need to see because it is behind their back. So I departed from it in the social genetic exchange. So what a loss is, you hear with the first time, you have departed from that and put it behind your back as per the advice of your intercessor, your advisor. I mean, you don't have to do it like this anymore. Things don't change. The social advisor from the environment told us we had to put it all behind us. Forget God. You left it behind you, and now you are subjected to what is up ahead. Because what's up ahead of you, they put it behind their back, and now they're on their way off the cliff. And what is up ahead? Has parted ways with what you have left behind. What God gave you in your creation the first time. What's up ahead looking nothing like that anymore. So Allah, he says, وَمَا نَعْرَ مَعَكُمْ كِفَآءَكُمُ الَّذِينَ زَعُونَتُمْ أَنَّهُمْ فِكُمْ شُرَكَاهُ لَخَتْ تَقَتَّأَ بينكم وبال أنكم ما كنتم تزعمون. صدق الله العظيم. We see not with you your intercessors, whom you thought to be partners in your affairs. So now all relations between you have been cut off, and your pet fancies have left you in the lurch. Your advisors, they know where you're headed. The advisors never meant any good. They just wanted to derail you, distract you, turn your head away from the direction of the sacred house. If you look away from that sacred house, you can never make it home in your journey. You will not make it home. So Allah, he says to us, in our journey. To make the prayer, he should be sure to turn your face to the sacred house. That's your direction. There lies your destiny. You have to get back home. And when the world, when the society is darkened, it's difficult to see in that journey. So Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, addresses the human being with regard to its advisors. Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, he sees that the human being, the human person, has arrived alone without any partners or advisors. The one who counsels the human being in its affairs. Everything has to return to Allah for settlement or reckoning. And they will not come with you before Allah. They can only bring you to condemnation. They will part ways with you and denounce you as your advisor against Allah as a judge. So, Allah, he says, Inna Allaha Faliqu Al-Hubil Wa-Nar Wa-Nawa Wa-Nawa Yukharijul Haq Min Al-Mayyitin Wa-Mukharijul Mayyitin Min Al-Haq ذلكم الله فأنا تضغله ذي. It is Allah who causes the seed grain and the date stone to split and sprout. He causes the living to issue forth from the dead, and he is the one who causes the dead to issue forth from the living. That is Allah. Then how are you deluded away from the truth? What is really being addressed by this verse? What is really being talked about when it says that Allah is the Wajjal, is the cleaver of the seed and the base stone? It is a blessing to observe this process as a wonderful act of creativity. Dear people, how can such a wonderful thing happen with such a small infinitesimal speck? And when you see, when you look at the date stone, it is so hard and tough. It would take a hammer to crack his shell. But sure enough, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered it to split when the condition is right. That simple display of Allah's ingenuity and creativity is an example of how he effects the life of people. The word for seed is also the word for love, L-O-V-E, Hadid, right? Hadid is love. And at the same time, it gives us the seed, S-E-E-D. It is out of Allah's love that he causes the seed to split, the seed to open up. That which has received the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open up and flourish into a beautiful display of life. I tell you, God can take a people locked up in a tough situation of hardship and difficulty. And with his love, he can cause them to sprout into a beautiful life. Only God can do that. Yes, he will give them a fast. A victorious opening that would allow them to emerge from an enclosure and sprout into a brand new life. It is him who ushers forth the dead from the living and the living from the dead. His love alone, dear people, can make the difference. So how is it that we can give our love and obedience to something else? And we're moving to close out here. But it says, Allah said in his Quran, فَلْقُلْ الْإِثْبَاثِ وجعل الليل سكنا والشمس والقمر حسبان ذلك التقدير العزيز العليم صدق الله العظيم. Allah has spoken to you. He it is that cleaves the daybreak from the dark. He makes the night for rest and tranquility, and the sun and the moon for the reckoning of time. Such is the judgment and ordering of him, the exalted in power and omniscience. Allah can make it bright and clear, no matter how dark your night may be. Dear people, he causes the darkness to open up, and he alone can call the light to come forth out of it, to say he has made the night to rest, meaning your travel in the night is not like your travel in the light. As Allah says in his Quran, they stand still until there is a flash of light. Darkness will arrest you, while light will possess you. The divine light, dear people, and the prophetic scriptures tell us, or tell you and all of us, what time it is. That time will be your reckoning or your judgment, which will define the result of your travel. So Allah, he says, وَالْهُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَقُومُ نُجُومَ لِلْ تَحْتَدُونَ بِحَاسِ ظُلِمَاتِ ظُلِمَاتِ الْبَعْرِ بَعْرِ وَالْبَحْرِ قَدْ فَصَّلْنَا الْأَبْيَاتِ لِقَوْمِ لِيَعْلَمُونَ. Surely Allah says, it is he who maketh the stars as beacons for you, that you may guide yourselves with their help through the dark spaces of land and sea. We detail our signs for people who know. So, Allah has made the stars. He has made the stars as a beacon of light for you. He has given us those enlightened individuals, the stars, who point with clarity to the path of which we as a group should be headed. Then Allah is the one who makes those stars assist in the travel in the land. The travel in the land, that is a rational viewpoint. The land is a rational viewpoint. And the sea, which is the moral position, in an effort, dear people, to help us find our way. Some of the early navigational systems was following the star. There has to be a balance between the land and the water. Allah has provided this help in order that we find our way to the path that will lead us home. Yes, in order that you be guided with her. In order that you be guided with her. Now, the translator chose to translate the taqtidu bihasi zulamati al-bari wal-bahar. Chose to translate that as that you may guide yourself with their help through the dark spaces of land and sea. Now, I'm not challenging the validity of the translation. It says behalf. He chose to translate it as yourselves with. But behalf is a preposition, and be, which is in, with, or by. And then you have had, which is a feminine pronoun. Right? Singular. Feminine pronoun singular, which is seen in several translations and used as plural pronoun, masculine or feminine, to make translation fit the perspective of the translator's communication. But have, the people, in this verse, is a feminine pronoun pointing all the way back to the feminine noun in verse 93. A hamar, which is anxiety, agony, and misery that has gripped the life. Right? Yeah, I mean, you're on this journey, but you're carrying this agony with you. You have to guide the life to stay free of it. The part of yourself that is affected by her, the agony, or can be affected by her need, her needs to be guided through the dark lane and sea. Intellectual capacity, good people, can be bogged down and burdened in that state of confusion. The real point that is being addressed with these signs is, how do you move forward when the appetite, desires, passions are being attacked in the lane? Attacked in the lane, meaning the so-called logical support that you think you have for your irrational position. And through the sea of immorality, how do you guide yourself with that kind of situation? Darkness is associated with confusion, which makes the journey troublesome at best. So, dear people, so how do you travel with her? The sensitive nature, which is anxiety, agony, and misery from the misguidance. How do you travel with her when the sun and the moon are gone? They're gone. When you follow at that point, when they're gone, then you have to follow the brightest star. In all of that darkness, you have to follow the brightest star. And Allah has advised us. I leave you by saying, twinkle, twinkle, little star, I wonder what you are. Up above the world so high, like a diamond in the sky. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. Our Lord, let not our hearts deviate.
This session is no longer being recorded.
After our guidance, and grant us from your presence mercy. Truly, you are the most liberal of all the granters.
Unmuted.
Igamata Salah.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Hayyal al-salat, hayyal al-salat. Hayyal al-salat, hayyal al-salat. Could come into salat, could come into salat. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah.
La ilaha illallah. Muhammadan Rasulullah. Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we intend to make two rakah of Salatul Jumafar. Masha Allah.
Allahu Akbar. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم القارية ما القارية وما أدرك ما قارية يوم يكون الناس كفراش مبتو وتقول جبال كالإثم منفوش فأما من دغلا ما وزنه
Sister Martha, are we ready? Sister Martha? Sister Martha? Just a second. Sister Martha, can you hear me? Could you hear me, sister? None has the power and the might save Allah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, we give Allah the complete and perfect praise. He is our Lord, keeper, sustainer, evolver of all the worlds. He is our Lord, keeper, sustainer, evolver of all the systems of knowledge. We seek his aid. We beg for his mercy and his forgiveness. We put our complete faith and trust in him. Mighty and sublime is he. I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship except Allah alone. He is without partners or associates and has nothing like unto him. To him be the dominion or the rule. To him be all unqualified praise. And he has power over all things. I further witness that to whom Allah doth guide, they are on true guidance. They are on the right guidance. And whom Allah allows to stray, regardless of our desires, there is no guidance. I bear witness that Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be on him, that he is Allah's slave servant and Allah's messenger. We pray the prayers and the peace be on him, be on his family, be on the descendants, the companions, the righteous all. And brothers and sisters, I extend peace to you. God's peace be on you. We say, Ayyuha al-Muslimun, and on you also be the peace. And what follows of that salutation, we say, Wa amma ba'd. Dear family, our topic for today is, who are the believers and what are their characteristics? Firstly, dear family, want to remind you that the journey to becoming a mu'min, the journey, listen to my words, the journey to becoming a believer is just that. It's not instant. It's not microwavable. It's not add water and stir. It's a process. And some people take for granted the fact that they're Muslim, that they're believers. I would say to you that all believers are Muslims, but not all Muslims have arrived to the stature or the status of a believer. And I'm going to read some things to you in just a moment to justify why I'm making that statement. And dear family, remember, to be a Muslim is a wonderful thing. Don't forget, remember when the desert Arabs called themselves believers and Allah corrected them and said, you are not believers yet because faith has not yet entered your heart, but at least say you are those who have submitted. So that's a good thing. You've got a good start. You're on your way to be a Muslim. And remember, there's two types of Muslims. Uh-oh, you ready? There's the natural Muslim, and there's the conscious Muslim. Remember, Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, told us that every child is born a Muslim. Let's keep it simple. Every child is born a Muslim. And it is the world that takes them out of that natural disposition, out of that natural state, and makes them into something else. Brothers and sisters, when we look at the world today, unfortunately, the human family has been seduced and moved and I'm going to say tricked into becoming outside of their nature, outside of their original pattern. And this is why you and I are so important, not with arrogance, not that we're better necessarily this, that, and the other, but because Allah has made us conscious, because Allah has elevated us, using Allah's words, because Allah has ukhrijat linnas, that he has made us the best community over time, evolved for all mankind. That means you and I have a responsibility to be the consciousness of the world. I know you say that's big. That's big shoes to fill. Well, that's what you signed up for. When you said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, that's where you are. And some of us will do it better than some of us won't do it as good. But long as we're all doing it, right? What did Muhammad the Prophet say upon him? Be peace. When you see a wrong, change it with your hands. Do so. Take some action. If you can't, if you're too oppressed, too weak to take action, at least speak out against it. You know, when somebody's holding you down, you can still speak. You can still protest. And if you're not strong enough to do that, at least hate it in your heart. And brothers and sisters, I know the hadith says that's the weakest of faith, but it's still faith. And I'm a believer that when you put certain things out in the atmosphere, I'm a believer in energy. I'm a believer in putting things out in the atmosphere. I'm a believer in changing environments, changing a room. There's some people walk in a room and change the whole dynamic of the room. That's you and I, brothers and sisters. We are that people that Allah has been evolving over time, and now we're conscious Muslims. Praise be to Allah. So, dear family, what does Allah say first in the Quran? You know there's two surahs in the Quran that deal with the believers by name. The most popular one is 23 in the Quran. I'm not going to read the ayat. I want you to read chapter 23, verses 1 through 11. I want to encourage you to do that on your time. This surah, 23, is entitled Mu'minun, or the Believers. Then the other one is chapter 40, which is believer singular. Be a good idea to read that one as well. So, dear family, alhamdulillah, what is the point? The point is I told you that our topic is who are the believers and what are their characteristics. Allah says emphatically in chapter 23, verse 1, Qad aflaha al-mu'minun. That is a very strong, a very firm, a very emphatic statement. One translation says, successful indeed are the believers. Another translation says, the believers must eventually win through. But look at the first one. Qad aflaha al-mu'minun. Successful indeed are the believers. If you are a believer, you're already successful. Reason why I like Yusuf Ali's translation of eventually win through, the believers must eventually or shall eventually win through, is because it goes back to what I said at the beginning. This is not microwavable. It is not instant. It is a process. It is a journey. And this is where people take themselves out of the race. If they do not get instant gratification, if they do not get instant results, they start doubting Allah even, a'udhu billah. But before we get there, they might doubt the religion. You know, you got people, that try things. Don't raise your hand, but if I talk to some of you, you'll say, well, I used to be a Jew. Or I used to study the Black Israelite. I used to be this. I used to be that. Searching. I did Buddhism. I was levitating. I was kumbaya, kumbaya, whatever that is, right? And I'm not saying that to make fun of that. That has its place for the meditation and the connection with the soul. There's just a different approach to that. Ours is the most perfect and complete, but I'm not here to bash anyone else. My point is we be searching. We be looking. So praise be to Allah. We have found, Allah has guided us to, and we have found now what Allah prefers. And again, reminder, Brother Habib told us this the other day, and I've said it repeatedly. Al-Islam is the only religion that is formally and properly named in Scripture. No other religion is named in Scripture. So that says something, that Allah has perfected and preferred for you Al-Islam as your way of life. So what are the characteristics of the believers? You're already successful, but how do you maintain the success? What is the formula for success? Well, first of all, you are those that make your prayers. You are those that do charity. You are those that avoid vain talk. You are those that guard your private parts except with your spouses. These are some of the characteristics of the believers. And Allah says if you will do that, you will reach that state of felicity, $2 word, right? Happiness. That state of happiness. Everybody's looking for happiness. We think our spouse is going to make us happy. We think our children are going to make us happy. We think our careers are going to make us happy. And we get disappointed time and time again. Not that you can't find fulfillment in your family, fulfillment in your careers. Of course you can. Seek it, right? Seek by whatever means Allah has made available to you the eternal home. But don't forget your share of this material world. It's all connected. But then some of us have really checked out, and we're using alcohol, and we're using drugs, and we're using pornography, and we're using all kinds of things to distract ourselves and check out of this painful reality that we're in. But praise be to Allah, when you come down from cloud nine, as the Temptations say, where my Temptations fans at? I'm doing fine on cloud nine. I'm sorry, this is Juma. Let me get back. Alhamdulillah. But you get my point. That is the deception of Satan, thinking that if you will do this, it'll solve your problems, when in reality, whenever you sober up, your problem is still there, and because you haven't addressed it, it has magnified. It has increased. Praise be to Allah. So what does Allah say? Allah has promised those of you who believe and do right actions that he will make them successors in the land as he made those before them successors, and he will firmly establish for them their religion which he has pleased, and give them in their place fear, pardon me, and give them in place of their fear, give them in place of their fear security. Brothers and sisters, no judgment. But perhaps we all know people that claim religion, but their life is a mess. Claim religion, but there's always one drama after another, one crisis after another. That tells me, again, what am I focusing on? Allah says that he will establish you in your religion. And once you're established in your religion, these things, these challenges that you have will go away. Understand what I'm saying. And again, you don't have to raise your hand, but I believe I'm speaking to a group of people or people in the audience that are listening, that they have found in religion a type of sanctuary, a type of peace, a type of tranquility, a type of strength. Not that they don't have problems, not that people don't get sick in their family, not that they don't get sick, not that people don't die, not that you don't lose your job and wreck your brand new automobile. It happens to all of us. But because Allah has established you and connected you with him, and your understanding is such that all of these things are temporary, your understanding is such that Allah is in control. And if Allah allowed it, I must accept it. There's something else I can get from this. Allah is the best knower. I trust Allah. You know what they say. Pessimist versus an optimist. Is the glass half empty or half full? What we're talking about here, dear family, is attitude. Attitude. What is your attitude? How do you perceive a thing? The motivational speakers tell us all the time, life is 10% what happens to you and 90% what you do about what happens to you. Did I get that right, Brother Asma? Allahu Akbar. I know. Brother Asma is a teacher. I know. So, brothers and sisters, I'm just saying here that know that Allah's promise is true. Don't think you can do things of your own power. Allah says you can't even will unless he wills. So stay connected. If you ask, what is the advice the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave that young man riding behind him on his camel? They were riding together. Young man, let me teach you some advice. If you ask, ask of Allah. If you need help, seek help from Allah. And the hadith goes on. That's that very popular one that talks about if the world was to come together to benefit you, they would only benefit you to the level and extent that Allah has already ordained. And if they come together to harm you and you receive harm, you're only going to be harmed to the amount or to the level that Allah has already ordained. The beautiful hadith in the 40 hadith. So dear family, as believers, we want to develop these characteristics. When I talked about it's a journey to a believer, the believer is never satisfied. The believer is appreciative. The believer is grateful. But the believer is always striving, always desiring to be better. What did Muhammad the Prophet say, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that whenever a believer endeavors to take on any matter, they seek to perfect it. You may never perfect it, but look how much better you get. Look how much more excellent you become. Striving, yes. It's not a destination, dear family. It's a journey. Even when we say, Inna lillah, wa inna ilayhi raji'un, it is to Allah we belong. Most translations say, and to him we return. I like the translation, and to him is our returning. It's a process. It's a journey. My brothers and sisters from the Nation of Islam, remember the popular prayer that we made? Surely I turn myself to thee, O Allah. Now, some might say being upright, but striving to be upright.
See, this is where you get that. That's where Satan makes you arrogant and you get full of yourself. You know, there's some Muslims that think they're better than other Muslims. They think that they got it together because they perfected something, they're good at something, or they've been blessed with something. They think they've arrived. Oh, Allah, I turn myself to thee, striving to be upright. Allahu Akbar. I'm going to get up off that. What else does Allah teach us? That in place of fear, we will now have security. They worship me and associate nothing with me. Any who are disbelievers after that, such are the deviators. Brothers and sisters, do you know that if we accept non-guidance after guidance, that we deserve a worser punishment than the one that was never guided? I'm going to let that marinate a minute. Allah gives you something. He enlightens you. He takes you out of oppressive darkness. He enlightens you. He brings you to the truth. And by your choice, you walk away from that. By your choice, you give yourself to something else. Don't you think you should be more severely judged than the one who could say, well, didn't know. No one ever told me. Matter of fact, my neighbor was a Muslim, and he never talked to me about Islam. Don't raise your hand. We might be guilty. Yeah, praise be to Allah. What else does Allah say? Allah says in the Quran, the believers are those who have believed in Allah and his messenger, and they have no doubt. They have striven with their wealth and with themselves in the way of Allah. They are the ones that are on true guidance, or they are the ones, pardon me, that are true to their word. Brothers and sisters, did you hear it? Pay attention to the subtleties, please. The believer believes, and it doesn't matter what they go through, the believer believes and they never doubt. They never doubt. But what else does this say? It says part of the proof of you and my faith is, are we all in or not? You know, there's some of us straddling the fence. There's some of us that gives more to the dunya than we give to Allah or give to the deen. We're straddling the fence. Now, again, if that's where you are, that's where you are. I'm your brother. I'm not your judge. However, Allah encourages us, if we want to check our belief gauge, Allah says the believers are those that are all in. They not only sacrifice their time, they sacrifice their wealth, they sacrifice their energy. See, there's some people that'll give wealth and no time. Time is very valuable. Energy is very valuable. And there's some people that will give time sitting on wealth and won't give a dime. Allah deals with all of that. Praise be to Allah. Allah says, the believers are such that when they listen, they are those who will listen well to what is said and they follow the best of it. They are the ones on whom Allah has guided. They are the people of intelligence. I'm still talking about excellence. I'm talking about not being too comfortable, striving. We are those that follow the best thereof. That's another verse of the Quran, the best thereof. So, brothers and sisters, there are different interpretations. And some people promote the unhealthy interpretation. Yes, it is a interpretation, but is it the best interpretation? Now, I'll say this to that. As long as you're following one of the interpretations, there may be hope for you. But those of us that claim things in the name of the religion and have nothing to point to, and have nothing to stand upon, that have no verification and call it religion, that's problematic. But there's nothing wrong with differences of opinions or interpretations based on the sound evidence. The Quran first, and then the authentic traditions of Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, dear family, as I bring this part of the khutbah to a close, we're describing the believers, the goal, what we're aspiring for. Allah says in Surah Al-Anfal 8 in the Quran, the believers are those who, when Allah is mentioned, they feel a tremor in their hearts. And when his signs, when his verses, when his Quran are recited unto them, increases their faith, and they put their trust in their Lord alone. Who perform the salat, who spend out of what Allah has provided for them, it is they who are the believers in truth. For them are grades of dignity with their Lord, and forgiveness and a generous provision, paradise. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. So, dear family, this is beautiful. This is beautiful litmus test. This is beautiful guidance to help us know what the goals are and what we're striving for. So it is clear from these verses that the qualities of a true Muslim mentioned in these verses are that we have taqwa, we have regardfulness, that our faith is increased by the truth of what we see. See, brothers and sisters, Allah already said that the believers are going to see much in this world that disturbs them, much in this world that disheartens them. It's already told us that because, unfortunately, many aspects of the world are given over to Satan, which is not in harmony, not part of what Allah wants. So the believer is never comfortable. The believer is never happy seeing things that go against the will of Allah. But don't forget, Allah is still in charge. It only happens by his permission. And Allah says another place in the Quran, mischief has appeared on land and sea because of your neglect, because of your behavior. But he says at the end, I'm paraphrasing, at the end, I'm going to turn this thing around and you're all going to return to me anyway. Yes, dear family, I used the example the other week, how we pollute the society, how we mess up the ozone, how we have these landfills, and we talk about, oh, the earth is going to be this, the society is going to have that if we don't self-correct, et cetera, if we don't change our course. What I'm telling you is Allah has already set something up in the universe to correct itself. You don't know that the earth wobbles sometimes. You don't know that the earth may, for lack of a better term, run the risk of jumping out of its track. Excuse my language. The point I'm making is Allah already has something to put it right back. It can't go outside. It can't leave. Telling you, just like I've said, dear family, why should Allah destroy the natural creation? Why should Allah destroy the plants and the animals and all of that? They've done nothing wrong. They are not the sinners. They are not the disobedient ones. They are not corrupting and turning the world upside down. So Allah is not counting on you and I to handle his business. He will take care of his own business. And when he takes care of it, there's no retake, there's no redo, there's no need for a retake or redo. It's done right the first time. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhaban-nar. Our Lord, we pray for the excellence of this life, and we pray for the excellence of the life to come. Oh Allah, please save us from the torment of the fires of sin. Ameen. Allahu Akbar. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأما بعد. I want to leave you, dear family, today with a very popular hadith. Sometimes, dear family, we don't give Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the respect and obedience that he deserves. I can say that because I'm guilty. So my point is, Allah and the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, are a marriage. You can't have one without the other. There's some Muslims that have tried. All I need is the Quran. I forget those hadiths. I hope that's not our frame of mind because they go together. If you say all you need is the Quran, then pay attention to the Quran. See, you're not even genuine in your respect and reverence for the Quran. Because if you were, Allah says in the Quran, obedience to the Prophet is obedience to him. That's all I'm going to say. The point, dear family, is it's a marriage. It goes together. Yes, it goes together. So what did Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, say? And I'm going to leave you with this. If you want to know how to become a believer, the Prophet said, you will not become a believer until your desires come in line with what I have brought. And he told us in the farewell address, I leave with you two things, the Quran and my life example. If you cling to them, you will never go astray. So again, we want to be believers. We're striving to be believers. That's the goal. We want to hear and obey. That's the goal. The Prophet said you will never become a believer until you are inclined, your desires, your inclination, your impulses, your wants are in line with what he has brought. And dear family, I already told you what he's brought. He brought us Kitabullah. He brought us the book of Allah, Al-Quran al-Kareem, the noble, generous Quran. And some would simply put his sunnah. I'm going to add something to that. What do you mean you're going to add to that? I'm going to add a different language. Because when I say sunnah, it might mean one thing to this brother and another thing to that sister. He left us. He gave us his life example. He gave us his observed practices. He gave us his authentic traditions. Yes. The Quran is protected in a way that it can never be corrupted. But I tell you, the sunnah, I'm choosing my words here. People have tampered with the sunnah, I'll put it that way. Let me just put it like that. Now, three of you that heard me say throw the hadith out, you're not listening. We're blessed to already have a science. I'm done. We're blessed to already have a science that authenticates which traditions are sound and which might be false or which might be weak. We have that already. Our hadith, a hadith that you can put your full faith in. Yes. But at the end of the day, also use the words of Muhammad, upon him be peace, that if somebody tells you, this is Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if somebody tells you, I said something and it contradicts the Quran, I didn't say it. So there's your litmus test right there. And I know some of us, you can raise your hand on this one. You read a hadith and start scratching your head. That goes totally against what I read in the Quran. That's got to be false. That's got to be fabricated. That's got to be weak. Trust your own intelligence. What did the Prophet say? Righteousness feels good in the soul. Sin and corruption disturb the soul. Trust it. When your knowledge runs out, which is going to happen often, we don't know too much. Say, man, you get up here and talk every week. I don't know too much. But I try to keep that connection that how does it feel in the soul? Is it disturbing the soul? Is agreeing with the soul. And whenever that happens, that just makes me double down and study a little bit more. And sometimes I find out, Shakir, you out of line, man. You got to get in line. You know why you're disturbed? Because you're not in harmony with what you're supposed to be doing. It ain't what I'm reading that's wrong. It's me that's wrong. All right. Praise be to Allah. Dear family, we're always excited and happy to see you all. We thank Allah so much for your presence. We thank Sister Martha, Naila Abdullah, Sister Latifa Hameen of the CWSC and AM 360 Radio. We're honored to broadcast worldwide through that medium. We're grateful for our Facebook audience that are consistent and true, and they support us every week. We appreciate that. We thank Allah so much. And I want to say, this must be Brother Keith, isn't it? Yes. Welcome, Brother Keith. Brother Keith is the grandson of our dear Brother Asmar and the son of another Keith, his father. Some of you all met Brother Keith that was in the military, and, you know, his operation was so secret that if he told us what he did, he'd have to – I'm sorry. I'm on – let me stop talking. He retired now, right? Here. All right. Praise be, Dweller. Brother Keith, welcome. We hope you enjoy your stay here in San Antonio. We love your grandparents. We love your father. Beautiful people. Make yourself at home. Praise be to Allah. Sir, you said, may God be with you. I agree. Amen. Amen. All right. It's good to see all of you. And instead of asking you to pray for folks, we're going to end today. I have no announcement, Sister Ebony. Go ahead. Make your announcement, Sister.
To know that Imam AR is out of the hospital. He's doing okay. We see that big change in his wellness plan. Uh-huh. They made a big change in his wellness plan. And this should, inshallah, help him to improve immensely. And so we're working, you know, I'm working very closely with them on everything they do. But we have to realize that we are dealing with other people who may not think exactly like how we think. And sometimes things don't go so soon. I want to say one thing, too, and that's to honor his wife, Rachel.
Allahu Akbar.
So a wife and a husband.
That's right.
And I'd like for all of us to make prayers for her and giving her more strength to do what she has done. But she don't
miss. Amen. Brother Doug, Sister Arena, we good? All right, praise be to Allah. We always encourage you to keep up your sadaqah always. As Allah just said, that's part of what the believers do. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, O Allah, make Muhammad successful and the true followers of Muhammad successful, as thou didst make Abraham successful and the true followers of Abraham. For surely thou art praised and magnified in our midst. O Allah, bless Muhammad and the true followers of Muhammad, as thou didst bless Abraham and the true followers of Abraham. For surely thou art praised and magnified in our midst. O Allah, you know better than I or better than us the situation of your believers and your servants. We want to name some of them today. We continue to pray for Sister Alma, for her recovery and her healing. We continue to pray for Imam Abdulrahim Muhammad as he goes through the journey and gets these different procedures, praying that one of them will take, praying that they will improve his quality of life and return him to us. And yes, as Sister Ebony mentioned, let's pray for our dear Sister Rachel, who is very strong, who is doing more than the average person can do. We pray for her continued strength and comfort. O Allah, we pray for Mother Towns. We pray for all of the challenges that she's going through, and we pray for her family that is around her, that they will continue to act in her best interest and support her. O Allah, we ask and pray. We pray for Sister Al-Theda that she continues to improve and that you bless her with the kidney that she needs so that she can have a good quality of life.
We pray for Sister Deshaun. We continue to pray for Sister Josephine. We pray for our Embeer family, and we ask and pray, Allah, that you will protect us, that you will have mercy on us and guide us always. Ameen. Akima Salat. Brother Abi. SubhanAllah, Ikama, Ikama. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Ikama. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah. Estou. Allahu Akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا ضالين آمين والشمس وضحاها والقمر إذا تلاها والنهار إذا جلاها والليل إذا يغشاها والسماء وما بناها والأرض وما تهاها والنفس وما سواها فألحمها فجورها وتقواها قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها الله أكبر سمي الله لمن حمنا الله أكبر Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد الله أكبر سمي الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. May Allah accept our worship family. Talk of Allah. Assalamu alaikum. Sister Martha, we pray, Allah, that you all have a wonderful weekend. And thank you for honoring us and allowing us to participate in the programming. And inshallah, we'll be with you again soon. Assalamu alaikum.
Members of police department.
I do apologize, everyone. I have been on mute, so let's restart again. Inshallah. This is going to be Imam Warsteen Muhammad speaking on Islam and today's society. And but Rana B. Shaheed is the voice you will hear first. Imam Rana B. Shaheed. I do apologize.
Next, a speech by Wallace Muhammad. Recently, he spoke about being an Islamic citizen, whose hour of 15-minute events was held by the Muslim American community of Boston.
I would first of all like to share with you something that the Imam asked me to make clear. One of the communications that went out to invite here said that W.D. Muhammad honors Boston. And Mam wants me to let you know he is honored by being here in your presence. As all of us are when we get together with good people. So I would like to give you a few words of introduction, and bear with me because I tend to ramble on. My wife can tell you that. And so I want to be very decisive, but I want to try to introduce you to what Imam is going to say today. In 1975, Minister Wallace D. Muhammad, upon the passing of his father, was elected to lead the Nation of Islam. He inherited a fledgling group that was functioning with what the noted scholar Dr. Sierre Gnickin called, quote, unquote, a proto-Islamic idea of religion, combining black nationalism and religion. During that time, the American media, using another appellation from Dr. Lincoln, referred to the group as black Muslim. Dr. Lincoln, in explaining why he used the description black Muslim, said that the group at that time was concerned with its blackness as a race, as an ethnic group, more than anything else. The young leader, Supreme Minister Wallace D. Muhammad, who was already known to envision a path for the Nation of Islam away from isolationism, showed vigor and boldness in the early days of his leadership of the community that his father had gallantly led since the 1930s. In what was essentially an inauguration address at Savior's Day 1975 in Chicago, a few short hours after the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's death, he identified the Nation of Islam as a house and said that the winds of emotion would not shake or destroy it. Is that right? Soon thereafter, he opened up membership to any person from any ethnic group or any racial group who accepted the principles of classical Islam. That is, Islam as established by the Prophet Muhammad of Islam of over 1,400 years ago. Prayers and peace be upon him. In an historical address a short while later in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, he challenged the members to, quote-unquote, remake the world. I was among the capacity crowd that filled Madison Square Garden and the Felt Forum in New York City in 1976 when Sheikh Imam Wallace D. Muhammad said to those who would follow him, "You're going to have to get used to change and grow." Over 20 years, we are still changing and growing. The work and leadership of Imam Muhammad since 1975 has been characterized by a continuous movement to inculcate within his associates, the membership, the highest regard for God and the essentials of Islamic life and identity, as specifically outlined and established by the two most cherished and authentic sources for Islam, the Quran and the life example of the universal prophet Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be upon him. It is a well-known saying of Prophet Muhammad, may God be pleased with him, that the best Muslim, quote, the best Muslim is he who is best in society at large, unquote. Imam W.D. Muhammad has done much to engender that saying from the prophet in the membership. Those in Imam Muhammad's association today include mayors of cities, state representatives, members of police departments, firemen, et cetera, et cetera. And as an example to you, we have with us today an esteemed brother from one of the most progressive cities in the United States, and he is city councilman in that city, and he is Councilman Nasif Majid. I told Councilman Nasif that I didn't mean to embarrass him, but I just wanted him to help me out a little bit. Imam W.D. Muhammad's leadership has always remained true, not to the details, but to the aim of his father, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. May God grant him peace and forgive all his mistakes. And what was Elijah Muhammad's aim, essentially? It was the universal aim of man in society. That is, to have what God created man for, to have dignity at home, when he is alone with himself or his family. Dignity in the public, when he interacts with his neighbors and fellow citizens. Dignity before the government. Dignity in the international world. To be honorable and respectful, to command respect wherever he is. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad used to tell us that he envisioned one day we would have, quote, friends in all walks of life. That was the substance and the aim of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's work for 40 years or so. And Imam W.D. Muhammad has been working over the last 20-plus years to accomplish the same thing, to restore the dignity, the created dignity, the inborn, creator-given dignity of the devalued, degraded people. And over the years, he has even accepted to give attention to the deteriorated lot of many others who appear to be in the same condition. And so he is called today by many enlightened people the Muslim American spokesman for human salvation. The, quote, substance of his work has garnered respect in the U.S. Senate. You all know this, many of you, most of you. At the U.S. Pentagon, from Presidents Carter, Bush, and Clinton, he has stood as the first Muslim to address both houses of the Georgia legislature, the state of his father's earth. And he has been honored by the country of Egypt with his highest award for religious work, quote, unquote, gold medal of recognition. And, I might add, it was personally presented to him by Egypt's president, Hosni Mubarak. It was my pleasure to travel with Imam Muhammad and a small delegation of Muslims in his association, the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, this past December, as a guest of King Fahd bin Abdul Aziz, the custodian of the two holy mosques. It was very obvious how much the leaders of Saudi Arabia respect Imam W.D. Muhammad and his work, for they introduced us over a 10-day period to the best people in their society. I've named just a few of Imam W.D. Muhammad's accomplishments as a leader of his community, representing once again the aim and substance that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad labored for, dignity at home, in the public, with the government, in the international world. And so, Honorable audience, we want you to know, once again, that we appreciate your presence here with us today. Please join us in welcoming the Muslim American spokesman for human salvation, Imam. Assalamu alaikum. Praise be to Allah, the Lord, creator, cherisher, sustainer of all the worlds. We witness that he's one and has no partners or helper in the role of keeping the creation. And we witness that Muhammad, the prophet of the Quran, Islam, prophet of the Muslims, and a mercy to all the world. That prophet Muhammad, born in Mecca, Saudi Arabia, what is now Saudi Arabia, about 1400 and some years ago, is the seal of the prophet, the last of the prophet, God's messenger and his servant. And we salute him with the salute, peace, and prayer be upon him. Ameen. And upon us, be peace. Ameen. We are honored. And I say we, because I represent something more than myself. If I represented only myself, I wouldn't be here and I wouldn't be known by any of you. And we have been honored here in this little brief time that I've been present here in Sweden and Boston. We have been honored here by our very distinguished, honorable elected official, your elected official. I say our because I identify with you. And we are very grateful to them and to this city for the respect that have been given us. And we hope that we can serve in an excellent way our cause, which also includes the welfare, the good life, and good future of mankind everywhere, in this city of Boston and everywhere. I would like to, before addressing the language in this subject that we have, excuse me, how to live with self, with family, with neighbors, and with another race, I would like to address the Strand Theater. This theater reminds me of a theater in Chicago where I was raised up from a little boy, from a baby, really. My mother brought me to Chicago when I was only 11 months old. And that theater's name is the Regal Theater, the Regal Theater. And the purpose of that theater is the same as the purpose of this theater, the Strand Theater. We lost that theater because of bad times in Chicago, financially bad times for African-American people and for our African-American neighborhoods. The theater ran down. We lost that theater. But because there was a person who valued that theater and a businessman, African-American businessman, on the south side, in the area right on the south side where that theater is, because of his caring about that history, the theater was open again and in a much bigger and beautiful structure on the south side. Mr. Joe Godler, who has his cosmetics products, a hair preparation product, and some other businesses, properties and business. He used his money and he got other support, and now the Regal Theater is open. So we have three theaters now that I know of that have long history, and they are open now, and they are back on the job of keeping the good life, the traditional life, and values of American African-American people, the Strand, the Apollo, and the Regal Theater. There are a few others, and I'm going to make it my business to get acquainted with all of them, because I feel that this history is very important to us. And believe me, I know the people who are behind these theaters, our African-American supporters, like Percy Sutton, who is behind the Apollo Theater. He and his family, with his support, he and his family, they reopened the Apollo keeping a good moral life, having faith in God, and having an ethnic, racial culture or identity of our own. They want us to keep our folkways that are good and excellent, and they want us to leave those habits that are bad and degrading. They want us to not forget the good training we got from our excellent fathers and mothers and grandparents in the South and in the North. And they want us to not forget the excellent contributions to our behavior at home, our behavior in the public, our behavior in entertainment that has been affected by such men as Marcus Garvey and before him, Frederick Douglass. Also, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and many others have made contribution to our improved behavior at home, in the streets, and in entertainment. They have also helped shape our taste and refine our taste for clothing and our taste for food and our taste for entertainment. And we want to preserve that. And we have such men who will sacrifice some of their wealth to preserve these theaters, these institutions, for us, that we will know ourselves and live better and better and grow better and better into better and better spiritual and cultural form. So we salute them today, too, on this visit to Boston. Percy Sutton, Mr. Percy Sutton, and Mr. Joe Gardner in Chicago, and to the persons who are not acquainted with them, the persons who are responsible for the Stan Theater being open and functioning in this city. Would like to share with you some thoughts I have on, a concept of tree. I've noticed as a young boy that cats would chase birds and sometimes climb up a tree, try to get a bird. And also dogs would chase cats. Sometimes the cat would run up a tree. And the tree is a mercy to the animals, especially to the weak animals. And that's what we need. We need something that's a mercy to the weak, for the weak. The big cat couldn't go out on the little limb that the bird was on. I saw a bird just wait on the cat. Like, did you think he was coming? I guess the cat thought he was going to fly away. The bird just sat there and wait on him. And he tried to come out there, and he hit one of those little thin, little light branches like a switch. And down he fell for a long drop. He wouldn't support him, you know. And I saw once a dog chase a cat. And the cat ran up the tree. And I said to myself, now, he's already out of reach of that dog. That dog can't climb the tree. But that cat looked like he said, you're so afraid of that dog. He said, I better get out of here where I know he can't land. The cat went out on a small limb that could only support about the weight of a cat. He knew that if that dog got up there, he couldn't be supported on those small branches that he was supported on. And to me, that's the way Islam is. That's the way religion is. If it is really interested in bettering the life of people, religion is like that. It provides for the weak a refuge from the strong. Provides for the weak a refuge from the strong. You can run. You can run to something that if they get on it, it won't support them. Now, you know, if a person is materialistic and all they want is this material world, if you run out on the branch of human kindness, if they come out there to get you, they're going to bump. And their fall may be very, 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 very long. Very long fall. So God has given us a religion. If we live it and practice it, it will protect us from the strong. You don't have to worry, but it will protect us from the strong. We have God as our protector, but we also have our faith as our protection. And if we live this religion, have faith, have to keep the faith and live it, can get us. I remember Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He was teaching same things that were really very disturbing in this world, to this world. But because of the good behavior we had and the good loving hearts and minds we had, we were protected. We didn't suffer. We weren't afraid of anybody. We weren't fearing that the Klan was going to come or the police was going to come and storm the place, storm the doors, break in and kill us. We weren't afraid of that. We didn't live with fear. We lived with faith. And we were beautiful in our hearts and beautiful in our spirit and mind. So God's protection was on us. And since the passing of Honorable Elijah Muhammad, we have been trying to learn better what is this religion Islam. From this, as the Imam speaker said here, Imam Talib, I believe it was he who said that this religion wants us to live the best, be the best, and that's exactly what Islam wants us to be, the best. So when we come into Islam and its best references, Jewish references, first number one reference is Quran, and then the lifestyle of Muhammad himself, how Muhammad the Prophet lived this religion. With those references and with the religion motivating us always, moving us always to be the best, we can be very successful in this world. And we have been very successful following the direction that we find in the Quran and in the life of Muhammad the Prophet. And we have now come into, I would say, a renewed spirit. We were drooping for a while, beaten down by disappointment. But it looked like we have outlived that troubled period of time. And now I see a renewed spirit on this community, in this community. And it tells me that we are on the way to progress again. Not to any small progress, the dreams of a poor individual, but to big progress. The dreams of visionaries who envision the future for communities, nations, and the whole of humanity on this earth. We are on our way in the road of progress. Progress for community life. This is really a good time for us. God Most High, highly glorified is he says to us in our religion, and follow the best thereof, and follow the best thereof. This is a religion that puts emphasis on excellence. It wants us to strive for excellence in everything that we do, and follow the best thereof. So if you're given a book, and the book asks you to do a number of things, or give you a number of guidelines for a better life, don't look for the weakest things to follow. Look for the strongest things to follow. Look for the strongest points. And make sure that you don't neglect those strong points. And try to live those strong points. That way, your life will be a strong life, and your life will be a life of excellence. And follow the best thereof. And Muhammad the Prophet has also told us, of God, he says that God has prescribed or inscribed in the nature or in the natural makeup of everything excellence. Therefore, if we understand the saying of the prophet, we believe that I am born for excellence. God has created me for excellence. If he has inscribed that upon my very nature, upon the very makeup that he made himself, that's me, if he has inscribed it upon it, then that means it's there before I'm aware of it. It's there before I'm conscious of it. It's a part of me. It is me. It's my life. excellent. Isn't it wonderful? But the Father didn't say that God did this just for people. He said for everything. So what does this tell us? This tells us that everything that God made was made, it was made to grow and progress or evolve into more and more excellence. And when we hear of the theory of evolution in our schools, high schools and colleges and universities, when we hear the theory of evolution, we as Muslims, we should want to relate that to the guidance on evolution that we have in our religion called the Quran and the teachings of the last prophet Muhammad. We should want to relate it to that, because here is the secular world telling us that everything, man, animal, even the material world, is undergoing evolution, or underwent an evolution and evolving. It starts out crude and small, and as it grows, it lives, and it grows, it grows out of its crudeness and out of its smallness. That all life was once one cell. And from one cell, it became finally into a complex creature like we are, the human being, this human structure, this human anatomy, this human biology that we have. Grew from one simple cell to this complicated, very fine machine that no other machine can match, the living human machine. Grew to be that. And is that against the Quran? God says he created you from a small frog, from an Allah. And some of the scholars who interpret this, they say this Allah is a small living thing, like a little small fish-like thing, a swimming thing. They say this Allah is really the life germ. It's the life germ itself that evolved from the simple little thing, creature, that can't be seen by the naked eye, into what you are and what I am. Brought up in the day. Everything is in the state of evolution, undergoes the station of evolution until it evolves to where God intended for it to go out to be. This is secular world science, but this is also religious knowledge from the Quran and from other religions if we understand. So if we are evolving, always agree with that is promising us a better life and more progress. Because that is our destiny. That is our destiny. That is where God wants us to go. If God is evolving us, then God wants us to always accept to be a little better, to grow a little more, to progress a little further. And he prescribes or inscribes excellence for everything. And what does God say of the community? He says to us Muslims, you are the best of the communities. Evolve for all people. You are the best of the communities. Evolve for all people. Think about what is said here. It says we are the best, khayra ummah, that we are the best of the communities evolved for all people. This tells us that there are also other communities evolved for all people. This new nation we call the United States of America, it is a new society among the societies of the world. And we who know something about its history, how it was conceived by its founding fathers, we can agree that this is a society or a community evolved for all people. It admits citizens from all parts of the world. And once those citizens become citizens, they are given the same treatment under the law that all other citizens are given. So this is a country conceived for all people. It was conceived to accommodate all people. People see seeking freedom, freedom from oppression, people seeking an opportunity to live a better life, to have more progress for themselves, not only as individuals, but as communities. The Irish came here because they wanted a better life for Irish, the Polish, the Jews, the Spanish, the Spaniards, the French. All of them except us. We were brought over here for a worse future. But because of the nature of this idea called Americanism, or, well, more correctly put, democracy, because of this idea, we too have benefited in this country. And though they brought us here for a worse future, we have a better future now. I know you will say it's because of Islam and Allah, yes, but also because of this idea that it invites all people to come who are denied and persecuted and denied their life they want in other places to come here. It's because of this idea too. And we have to thank Allah for that. But we are people who should believe that we have created the progress. We are created to not to stand still, but to progress. We are created not to stay on the same level, but to graduate to higher level. Created not to have small things and be satisfied with small things, but to be motivated to have bigger things and better things. This is what we have to believe, just from this one statement. God says he has described excellence for everything. And he also says of the community, we are the best community evolved for the good of all people. What Islam gives us to situate us for the good life and progress is ideas that are powerful. You accept those ideas, you don't have to be a scholar, but if you just accept the idea, if you just believe that God intended this for you, you're going to be better situated spiritually to accomplish more in your life. It's being told this. We weren't no great minds. But only Elijah Muhammad, well, he too was no great mind. Not formally. He didn't have any education. He was almost illiterate. Only 3 years elementary school education from Georgia. And you know what that 3 years was back there when he was a boy. Give any notice to. But he was motivated. He wasn't a scholar. He wasn't a great mind. He didn't have education. But when he was told, you are the best, the righteous, the powerful. And he believed it because he thought God was saying that to him. He believed it. And just believing it put him in a better spirit to have a better life, to have a better progress for himself and for others. So don't underestimate the word of God, this powerful message, this potent force. When it comes into your head and into your heart and your mind, you don't have to be a scholar. I don't think you have to digest it as a scholar digests it. All you have to do is accept it as an ignorant person accepts it, who believes in God and trusts God. And it will start to work on your life. It'll start to work on your mind and on your spirit. It'll start to work in your soul as yeast and bread. It'll start to rise you up and make you better. Praise be to Allah. What Islam gives us situates us better to have a good life and to have progress. How does Islam prepare us for global progress? Oh, the globe is too big. I haven't learned how to live and manage my own apartment yet, Brother Imam. Well, let me tell you something. If you get your mind made up to try to live, to have yourself respected on this earth, in the community of men, on this whole globe, I guarantee you that power, that potent force in your head and in your soul and in your spirit, it will grow you up and grow you too big for your apartment. After a while, you'll be too big for your house. You'll be too big for your block. You'll be so big until we'll see you out here representing Boston. Don't think small. Don't think small. Always think big. And if the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had a magic, if he had a miracle, that was his miracle. Talking big talk and getting big results from small people. Now, Allah wants us to know something about our relationships with each other. Allah wants us to know what the value of our relationship with our mate. Man with his mate. Woman with her mate, the man. Allah wants us to know the value of that relationship. That relationship wasn't created for us just to have sexual pleasures. That's beneath most animals. Most animals are also social animals. They're not just sexual animals. They're also social animals. They don't have sex just for each other. They have sex for their children, to have babies. And they realize that then they have to stop putting so much of their investment in just sex. They have to start putting some investment in the future of their children. Okay? This is the teachings of God to us in our faith religion, in the Quran and in other books, if we understand. So God wants us to know more about the value of these relationships so that we don't think of sex as intelligent people. We don't think of sex just on a sexual level. We think of sex as the foundation, the beginning of something good, something big, something great, and that's the family and society of man. When you look at a flower as a student of botany, studying the flowers, you look at that flower and you see it open up. You know it's sex organ. You can look right at a sex organ. They explode. But they're not, they don't suggest any indecency. Huh? It's so beautiful. Dear God has given us a sign that I want you to see sex, your sex, like you see a flower. It's a beautiful thing. It should make a contribution to society. Huh? The bees go to the flower and they help germination, growth and multiplying of the flowers, and the flowers yield something to the bees, and the bees take it and make honey. The bears like it, and we like it. And its message to our intellect and to our social interest is much bigger than its value in just sweet honey. Yeah. God wants us to see sex in its social role, not just in its physical role. Then we can have more respect for our family. We can have better family. We can have more respect for our relationship, man to woman, woman to man, and have better relationships, better marriages, better families. But this world runs up love and makes sex funky. Yeah. So you have to fight that. That's Satan's influence. That's the influence of Satan. Want to destroy the social role of sex. So your family is brought down. Your neighborhood is brought down. Your society is brought down. And all of you living for nothing but for really monster sex. Yes. Some of the great artists, satires on the society. They write the whole, they picture the whole society as nothing but a picture, a society of Adam. Monsters. Yeah. Because that's how they interpret it. That these people are falling from the great platform of human excellence. They're falling from that. And they're falling to a life that is beneath any normal creature. So they are, their lives now, the lives of monsters. They're living the lives of monsters. We want to live the lives that God intended for us, the lives of human beings. Now, a man has to also understand the relationship for him with his possession. Most people can't manage the relationship with their possession. They will get a new job, a good job, they'll get much more income, and they will have much more material things in their lives, nice car, nice home, plush furnishing and everything. They will have all that environment in the home, but they can't manage the relationship. They can't manage it. For everything, there's a relationship. Science says this and religion says this. For everything, there's a relationship. And you are not going to be left alone and unaffected by that relationship. If you're making $200 a week now, when you start to make $2,000 a week, if you had a problem in your relationship with $200, you're going to have 10 times that problem when you have $2,000. The problem going to be multiplied, intensified, at least 10 times. You see? For everything, there's a relationship. And there's one relationship that if you accept and then accept revealed guidance from that, that's God. Your relationship with God, if you accept that relationship and honor that relationship, regard that relationship as you should regard it, and follow the guidance that God has revealed, that relationship will protect you from all other relationships. That's what religion does for us. It gives us a protection for all relationships, whether it's with myself, because I have to have a relationship with myself. Some people, you can leave them alone by themselves, and their self will kill them in about 2 days. Yeah. You have to be able to manage a relationship with yourself and a relationship with your wife or with your husband or with your husband's sister and with your children and with the neighbors and everybody. You have to manage these relationships. Conquering of your own self. You have to conquer your own self, to tame your own self, civilize your own self, refine your own self, command respect from your own self, so that your own self lives the honorable life that God intended you to live. Then you walk in pride, you walk with dignity, you walk with a sense of great accomplishment. The hell, I manage my own self. Then you won't feel the pressure of racism in the air. Say, hell, ain't no white man mad at me. Ain't no combination of white nations mad at me. I'm managing my own self. I says, we have certainly, God speaking, saying we have certainly made honorable. That means made noble. Noble in O-B-L-E. Honorable. You know, it's the English that claim nobility more than any other nation. The Englishman claims nobility. He claims it and he hates everybody else that don't understand it. The Irish didn't catch on to that nobility. He put some hurting on the Irish. The Scots, it looked like they couldn't catch on to that idea of nobility. He put some hurting on the Scots, on the people of Scotland. He put some hurting on you. You look like a white man, but something wrong with you. I'm going to have to beat you until you learn what this nobility is all about. God says he's certainly made honorable, made noble, every child of Adam. I don't care how white you are, how black you are. According to the language of the scriptures, Quran, Judaic Bible, and also the Quran, Bible, Quran, and the Judaic, the Torah, all of them say the same thing. According to those scriptures, no matter how white you are, how black you are, you're a child of Adam. And God says he made honorable, noble, every, kulli. You speak some Arabic? Kulli means every. Each and every, kulli. Bani, child, descendant, Adam of Adam. God, certainly indeed. Karamna, we made noble and honorable. Kulli, Bani, every. every descendant, Adam of Adam. Now, if you let that statement enter your head and you believe it, it's going to enter your heart. It's going to enter your soul. It's going to enter your spirit. It's going to affect your spirit. And you're going to start growing out of your inferiority. God said he made you know. And noble men qualify for all positions in a society. Is that right? That's that history. See, that's not our language. We didn't make nobles and lords. They did. So if you accept, then you must then walk with pride, not with shame. Or you walk with pride. Say, God, maybe I don't have the education. Maybe I don't have the skill. But God created me to be president of the United States, president of this bank, to be in charge of trade or commerce. You have to believe that. We have African-American men and women now in this country moving up into these very special positions that we thought we would never get into. The Dalton Thomases, they said, no, white man, never. But those who believed in their own inherent nobility, they said, the white man doesn't have to let me, I'll get there on my own. We have shown one man so that we who believe in what God has given up. Because God hasn't given any man something that he didn't give every man. It's his natural creation. In our natural creation, God gave us all the same. But it's the mercy of God that gives some of us better situations than others, better circumstances than others, better opportunities than others. So because of that, in time, we are more qualified than others that did not get the favored situations or favored circumstances or opportunities, right? Yes, we know that these differences exist, and we understand, given by God to us in Scripture, that is that when he created us, he created us and he made us all equal in our creation. That means whatever any other man was given to work with or to live by or upon for his future, he gave it to every other man. He didn't give one race something that he didn't give the other race. He gave all the races the same. And that's what the Quran is addressing when it says, our holy book of Jesse, when it says he certainly made honorable and noble every descendant of Adam. To come to the idea now in Islam is called Tawheed. And Tawheed comes from word meaning one. Just one. O-N-E. One. And Tawheed can be translated maybe literally oneness. 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 What it really says is this, that God is one. And upon that fact or that reality, we must reason then that God's creation is one. Creation must have a unity. The creation must have a law that's throughout, that runs throughout the whole creation. The creation must not be foreign to itself and without being also akin to itself, and that is longer than its diversity. Its oneness is more powerful than its diversity. We are many and diversified as living things are. Animals and plants and all things are many and diversified. We are many and diversified. But the unity, the commonness, the commonality, the sameness is stronger than the differences. It is not our color that holds us together. It's our humanity that holds us together. We are not held together even as a family at home by the colors. If that was the case, then we'd have to selfishly select the color of the husband or the color of the wife. See, I want my family to stay together, so I better make sure she's exactly my shape. Because differences in color is going to break up my family. That's not the case. The humanity, it's the same human life that we share with each other. I have the same life, human life that you have, sister. You have the same human life that I have, sister. And that's what God means when he says that he made male and female of one. He made us of one. And he made us two of the one thing, of the one person he made us two. From our one humanity, he made us male humanity and female humanity. And then he spread from those two many nations, tribes all over the world. This is what God teaches us. So we are the same. That's why husband and wife can sit down and talk to each other, resolve their problems, as long as they respect each other as equal. The man said, but I have a superiority over her. Yes, you do. And God tells you what that superiority is. It's in your muscles, and in your wealth, and in your money. Now, if you ain't got either one of them, brother, you out of them. But as far as your soul, God made her soul and your soul the same. She's a human soul and you a human soul. And her human soul evolved into a humanity and yours evolved into a humanity. And your humanity is not superior to her humanity. And her humanity is not superior to your humanity. This is reason from the concept of the idea of Tawheed. So this idea tells us that the creation is one. That this material universe of many planets, stars and planets, and moon, orbits, things, satellites, all this stuff out there in space, this vast universe of so many material bodies in space, when you look at them, you can see a unity. So Allah says, look at it. Can't you see that it was joined together once? Though the sea is separated from you now, earth and sky? That took science, astronomy. To show us that earth and sky are united. Man used to think that earth was the center of the universe. This was like a platform that he was sitting on, and all the other stuff was nothing but light in his ceiling. Knowledge and science, he come to know that he ain't nothing but a light in the ceiling too. That the earth itself ain't nothing but a light in the ceiling, and a small one at that. So he came to believe that this material world, our universe, is one system. And that's said in the term or the expression, uni-verse. Uni meaning one, verse meaning verse.
90 seconds.
So it has many verses. We can perceive it in its totality as a universe. Isn't that wonderful? As one single verse. That one single verse, you see, is universal law that holds it all together.
60 seconds.
As a universal law, holding all this material creation together and having it operate in a way that makes it serve life and man, or mankind. This Tawheed, it goes on to say that though we are different nationalities or races, we are one people, that all of us are brothers and sisters. Now I know this sounds churchy to you, Muslim. But it's the truth. When we say Islam, Islamic Brotherhood, we're saying the same thing that Christians say when they say Brotherhood.
Seconds.
Islamic Brotherhood. What is it supported by? Islamic Brotherhood is supported by the belief that God made the first heaven and all the people on earth are children of the earth. So they are created brothers and sisters. But the Muslim world is involved in that idea. He wants to accept the brother, the person, no matter what skin color they got or what nationality they have. He wants to accept them as his brother in one family of Muslims. So that's the brotherhood of Islam. It's established upon the brotherhood of man, the belief that man is a brotherhood. All people form one brotherhood. We are brothers and sisters of each other. Not in the flesh anymore, because the flesh has multiplied and families have, in their physiology, in color, and other things, in descriptions, physical descriptions, and also spiritual descriptions, we become different, right? So it is not that we are brothers and sisters in that, but God made you from one single human design, one single human pattern. So you know something about patterns. God made you from one single human pattern. And you're mixing and going through different parts of the world and taking on the environmental influences and being formed by those influences into different features and different people have not made you different in terms of your human pattern. So you are still the children of Adam. You are still the children of the original pattern. And in that, you are spiritual, soul-wise brothers and sisters. I'm an idea. Now, how is this going to help us to live with ourselves and to live with our neighbors and to live with another race? How is this going to help us? Don't think about it. Don't think about it. You don't have to think about it. Just let it enter you and accept it. It does its own work. It does its own work. Once it goes in you, it's a potent force. It's a potent gem. It's a potent life force. Once it goes into you, it starts to reshape you if you take wrong. You don't have to think about it. It's accepting what you're being told now from the scripture. It's going to begin to influence the shaping of your mind, the shaping of your feelings, your thoughts, and everything. It's going to make you conform to that idea that you have accepted. And if you accept the idea of Tawheed, it's going to make you conform to the idea of Tawheed, and it's going to prepare you to live with yourself, with your family, with your neighbors, and with another race that's on this earth. Doesn't mean everybody's going to be beautiful. It just means some people are going to be in good shape and others will not be in good shape. The ones in good shape, they will be able to manage their lives and make a contribution to the betterment of the whole society. They'll be able to go out front. They'll be able to do chat with a kind word and ignore the ignorance of the savage who's backwards and retarded socially. And he still carries the idea of a superior race in him. You'll look at him and see him as nothing but a little small creature that came out from under the stone in the daylight and ran back under the stone because the daylight was too bright for him. And you'll pity him and you'll want to help shade him until he can mature socially and come out from under the stone into the light. Now, I'm not saying I'm a Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. I'm not. I believe in cracking his head with a club or with a bat or something when he's trying to do harm to other people. But if we don't kill him, I believe in getting If we don't kill him, I'm leaving, getting him some medical help. Put him back in good shape. Let's put some more shade on him. Work on him until he can gradually come out into the sun. Now, I know this city has been marked. We read about it in Chicago, Boston. City with more higher institution of higher learning than any other city in the United States, but got a race problem. Well, I hope you can give this to the press. Deputy Dean Muhammad, Wallace D. Muhammad, said at the Strand Theater, today, Boston has no race problem. Boston has a mind problem. And that mind problem is not only in the white, but it's also in the black. So if you get the problem out of your mind and they get the problem out of their mind, you see it ain't no race problem. It's just two retarded social groups. See, something is wrong with us, and we have to charge everything that another race does to us as racist. Something is wrong. Something missing up here. Now, you go home, and you complain to each other. Hey, look, I didn't say you could wear my shoes. What you still wear my shoes? Or why you slept in my bed and didn't make it up? I didn't say you sleep in my bed. Now you can't sleep in my bed. White man tell you can't sleep in his bed, he's a racist. We have to stop blaming everything on racism. Stop listening to these new scholars on the campuses. Listen to these new African-American thinkers on these campuses who are telling us that we just gone too far with these ideas of the past. We need to rethink them and come up with more logic in order to deal with the problems of the future. It's a new thinking now. We have to embrace that new thinking. Be more rational now and less emotional. More rational and less impulsive. To survive in the world to come. The world to come is the world that the Quran prepares us for more than any other book. The Quran prepares us for the coming world more than any other book. And it should, because it's the latest of the books. We believe in the evolution of the messianic figure, the messianic person. We believe in the evolution of that messianic person. Starts with the first man, Adam. He's a messianic figure. And it ends with Muhammad, the last prophet. He brings us to the idea of the global community, that man is one community, and in national ummah and wahida, that the man, all people are one community, to live on this earth as one community of man. Huh? So you respect each other. So you learn to live with each other, cooperate with each other, as Allah tells us in the Quran, and cooperate with each other, support each other, upon what? Righteousness and regardfulness. And deny each other your cooperation or your support when it's upon what? Sin and bigotry. So the Quran is telling us to deny another Muslim or anybody our support if they're asking them to support them on some racist idea. If they're advocating hatred for another group of people, we are not to give them our support. We are to deny them our support. Now, I think Farrakhan is a strategist. I think Minister Farrakhan is a strategist. I think he's a great game worker. And who knows, maybe Allah has him here for that purpose. Maybe we're getting a lot of benefits from his strategy and his game work.
but I know I'm not going to support him when he stands upon racism. When he asked me to come and join him upon some racist idea, that one race is superior to another, or that one race is a friend and another race is the enemy. We've always had some white friends among the people. Yeah, even during slavery, we had some white friends. Never was time when they all were our enemies. A lot of them died to get us in a better situation. Now, I know it was just a very few. Very, 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 very few. But we had some way back there. I can say we made a whole lot of progress. So I can count about four times right now, but I know that's my friend. White folks, getting all of it. If I keep counting, I might come up with about 25 white folks that I know are my friend. Now, you know, if we judge like God judged, just so God in the Bible tells a prophet that wants to see the town destroyed, if you can find one good man there, I'll save the town. Why? Because if there's one good man there, there's proof that there can be many good men there if you change the condition. So if there was only one good white man doing our enslavement, that was proof that if we work on it, we could change the condition and there could be more good white men. And that's exactly what happened. History and experience proved that to us, that there were not just a few, there were many good white women, men, and women. It just had to be worked on for that. I'm going to conclude this by saying that Muslims should start always itself. And you should try to do as much as you can to keep yourself in good shape and good order and good condition. Then you should go to the thing that you're responsible for. If it ain't a child, if you got an apartment, partner in good condition. If it's a vehicle, try to keep that vehicle in good condition. Because Allah, your God, going to judge you by your treatment of the things in your responsibility. Not just human beings, children, but also material possessions. Start with yourself first. And then move out of the individual, see yourself as a member of a society. Sharing a part of the responsibility for that society. And try to live up to your responsibility as a member with a share of the responsibility for that society. For that society to be your family, your neighborhood, city you live in, or the world you live in. Try to go up to it. And as a Muslim, know that your job, your main job, is to support the growth of Muslim community. The growth of Muslim community is much more than a little soap to have meetings in, or to do prayers in, a Jum'ah prayer. It's much more than that. The obligation of a community is as big as what you see when you look at all. You should be striving to grow up your community so that your community is recognized as being responsible for housing, for neighborhoods, for businesses, for political rights in that area. And you should be tied into the government, the local government and the federal government. You should be tied into that. You should have people representing you, tied into the local and federal government. because you're proud of the whole nation. And you should be in competition with other people who are tied into the federal, local and federal government, the local and federal government. You should be in competition with them. You should feel that God has prepared you to be not less than anybody else. But you shouldn't be looking at the world saying it's a white man's world. You should be looking at the world and saying this is God's world. The earth belongs to Allah. Allah says that in the Quran. And Allah says the earth is my mom. The earth is my mom. That's what God says in the Quran. The earth is my masjid. See, some of you all have forgotten English. You don't know what mosque is anymore. So I have to say masjid. Yes. God says the earth is my masjid, my mom, my house of worship, the whole earth. Are you a Muslim? Is China on this earth? China says, God says China is my mom, my masjid. So if I get the means, the wherewithal, to do more than represent Islam in America, to represent it also in China, I should go there with no second thought. I shouldn't be thinking, oh, I can't do nothing in China. God says China is his mom. God says England is his mom. Huh? Paris is his mom. France is his mom. All these places is his mom. God says Anna is his mom. Huh? Nigeria is his mom. Now, shouldn't you feel bad knowing that you came from over there? And his mosque is in bad shape? Yes. Let us work to have community establishment. And community establishment, as God wants us to have it, means providing everything that a community requires. That's what it means. You don't have to have a separate government to have that. Other ethnic groups, they've been doing it all the time. You go to the Irish Quarter of Chicago, you find the Irish running the government, local government, you find the Irish running the bank, the business, they're running everything. And they tied into all the other governments so that they are not left out or shortchanged, so that they cooperate for the benefit of the whole, so they don't hurt the whole. They stay in tune with what is happening so that what they're doing is not affecting any other part of the United States in a bad way. We have to have sensible, responsible people with big minds like that to rise up in this community and take on more responsibility. Thank you very much. May God guide us to the truth. Have mercy on us always. Amen.
Amen. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum to everyone. Do I need to repeat anything? Press 1 if you have any comments you'd like to share. Though we will be on, inshallah, in about a couple of hours, a little more than a couple of hours, at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We will be here with Community Developmental Stages, followed by Community Buzz, Have You Heard? If any information you want to be shared at that hour, at the 8 p.m. hour, God willing, come on back and be here with us on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, American Muslim 360. At any time, go to our website, www, if you like, but you can put in just cwsc.us. When you're there on our website, you'll see that it's under construction, but it's all for the better. The information, though, is quite relevant, quite useful. Our vision and our mission, as the imam mentioned, remake the world as I take it back, Imam, yes, Imam, but Ronald B. Shaheen mentioned about in the history of Imam's lectures and sharing and teaching and just revolutionizing our thinking, one is remake the world. So CWSC also has gotten under that banner, remaking the world. It's in process, continuous process. And we've also claimed that humanity is everybody's responsibility to be of, we're of humanity, and we're to be in the way of being a part of humanity. So praise be to Allah. I won't keep you now. If you have any comments, praise be to Allah. Please share by pressing 1. If you want to go back and listen to this, in a few moments it should become a podcast. You'll be able to do that if you go to cwsc.us and click on podcast, and you can re-listen. And you can actually, if you go to American, type in American Muslim 360, type the words American Muslim, and then the number 360, you should be able to scroll down until you see today's Share Your Jummah, CWSC, and commentary of Imam W.D. Muhammad. When you see that, you can click on it, and then you can control where you want to listen in the process of the two Jummahs being presented. And inshallah, as we're working, we pray that you can see or get a sense of sharing Jummah with the areas where the time sequence is different for one being in Jummah. So on the East Coast and the Central, inshallah, we will connect in one way or the other on the Pacific Coast for those who can't get out, recognizing that we're 50 states strong, 50 states, and not just 24, 30, we're 50. So praise be to Allah, the responsibility of making sure that we are affording everyone the opportunity to hear khutbah live without having to go back and listen to a podcast of it, but listen to it live and be there in the moment and follow the imam. And we can discuss this, but as I was told in one instance by someone, that when you hear, and please don't take this as gospel, of course, but I share it because sometimes we may have a thought on our mind, and that is if you're hearing Jummah by an electronic device or something, you're not at the masjid, but the imam just cleared that up, right? So I don't even need to go further, that the whole earth is the mosque. So we take that into consideration and know that we follow the imam with salat when the iqama is called. All right, so at 7 p.m., we're going to share first two music here, to an inspiring one, really. Humanity, just a short part of humanity is everybody's business, and then we'll end with you've got to be thankful, all right? Should you be able to stay with us. All right, here goes. Peace and joy.
This is Isaiah Abdushakur, now with the Islam's beliefs universal.
Oh, excuse me. That's another presentation. Yeah. Be thankful. I just want to make that message clear.
Early in the morning, seeing a friend, seven express fruit coffee as I stumble down the stairs, tiptoe by the bedroom. My children sleep. 25 years old. Savior, I still pray my Lord their souls to keep. Grab my keys, grab my hat, and I head on out the door. Crank up my old pickup truck, get off the work I go. But I gotta be alright,
gotta be alright,
the best that I can. Try and make a difference, cause that's just who I am. I've gotta be strong,
gotta be strong,
and let a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful,
gotta be thankful,
gotta be grateful for my life and all the things he's given me that make my life. For the warm rays of sunshine, star that lights the night, friends I've left forever, and my children and my wife. Now there's a little boy, he lives down the street, who wants to grow to be a man. But life is rough and the streets are tough, and he tries to understand. He say, mister, can you help me? Can you lend a helping hand? Tell me why the life's so rough. Can you help me understand? Well, I think about the days gone by and the things my daddy said, and the wisdom that he shared with me still lingers in my head. He said, you gotta be alright,
gotta be alright,
you gotta do the best that you can. Try and make a difference in any way you can. You gotta be strong,
gotta be strong,
and lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful,
gotta be thankful,
you gotta be grateful for your life and all the things he's given you that makes your life your life. For the warm rays of sunshine and the stars that light the night, and friends that last forever, and your children and your wife. Go back to colors, and I sing the day's last prayer, asking for his blessing for people everywhere, and our sons and daughters who fight in foreign lands, trying to make a difference for their families. But they gotta be alright, they gotta do the best that they can. Try to make a difference any way they can. They've gotta be strong,
gotta be strong,
and lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But they gotta be thankful,
gotta be thankful,
they gotta be grateful for their lives and all the things he's given them that make their life for the warm rays of sunshine and the stars that light the night, the friends that last forever, and their children and their wives. Yeah, they gotta be thankful,
gotta be thankful.
And all the things he gives, I think for the warm rays of sunshine, longer like the night, friends that last forever, and their children and their wives. Say they gotta be thankful.
All the things he's given us make our lives our life. God bless us, everyone. Have a wonderful rest of the day. God willing, see you back at 7 p.m. Inshallah. Right here on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, American Muslim 360. God's peace be upon you.